podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
But it always lines up. You reign. He reigns. King. King eternally. This is a word that I've been, I didn't realize it until I began to prepare it, that I've been storing in my heart a long, 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 long time. And it's special to me, but it goes back to my foundations in the faith. I was born again. I gave my life to the Lord in 1987 in a parking lot, the old Chapel Hill Harvester Church. Anybody remember that? Yeah, that's a saga that did not end well, but a lot of good things happened before a not-so-good ending. And one of the good things, the best thing in my life, was giving my life to the Lord in the parking lot of that church. But that was another 10 years, 87 to 97. As those of you who have been around a while, but for the sake of guests in the room, I had some struggles. Some struggles that I brought into my belief. Struggles. And it wasn't until 1997, January, where it came to the point of this message I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to talk about the way in, the way in. I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God this morning. We've talked over the weeks about the way out. That the way out was that 1987 morning. And we talked about the way up when you're discouraged, looking to the hills where your help comes from when your head is down and you find you can't pray and you can't worship, you can't even see straight. You feel like you're going spiritually insane and maybe even acting like it, but God had an answer. The way up, I encourage you to listen to that. But this morning, the way in to what is perhaps one of the greatest mysteries of the Bible. The greatest mysteries of the Word of God, the kingdom of God. What is that? I want you to go back with me to 1997 and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I always like to give a historical reference because whenever I preach the word, whenever I'm sharing, I like to place myself in the Bible. I like to put myself on the scene. I like to say, what would I, who would I be, where would I be if I was on the scene where this is happening? And in Matthew chapter 13, this is about the midway point of Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist has been beheaded. Jesus has done a lot of miracles out in the open, done a lot of teaching to the crowds, and now he's becoming pretty famous. The disciples have learned a lot. They've grown a lot. They've been sent out and come back and done miracles and cast out demons in his name. Their own short-term mission trip, and they did powerful works in the name of Jesus that even amazed them. And now on this day, which if you read your Bible carefully, it's one of the busiest days in Jesus' ministry. It's midway point. And the Bible says that he sat down. I wonder if he was a little tired. He sat down beside the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful place. Go there with us next November 2020. And it said a great crowd gathered around him. This would have been a crowd mostly of Jews, mostly of the people of God. A great crowd gathered around him. He sat on the beach and now he stood up. He stepped into a boat, the Bible says. I imagine the crowd was so pressing that he stepped into a boat. And the Bible says the crowd stood on the beach. And Jesus began to speak from the boat to the crowd. And the Bible says that he spoke to the crowd in many parables, many riddles, many like strange sayings, or just things, or, and just parables. It's what he was speaking to the crowd, and the disciples are watching this. And then I want to take it up in Matthew 13. I want to take it up in verse 10. And it says, the disciples came to him in the boat. Why do you speak to the people in parables? Why don't you just tell them, just tell them straight how it is? Why are you speaking to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Crowds of the people of God and his disciples. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Who needs an abundance this morning? Abundance of something. You know, don't raise your hands unless you want it. Who needs an abundance this morning? And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Anybody believe the word this morning? I'm going to preach you the truth this morning. And he said, this is why I speak to them in parables. This is why they can't understand what I am saying. He says, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. And he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and turn and turn, and I would heal them. He's talking not to the crowds. He's talking from the boat to his disciples, and the crowds are on the beach. And to his disciples, he says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. He's telling his disciples, long ago, prophets of old spoke, and they wanted to see what you see, and they were looking at Jesus, and they wanted to hear what you hear, and they were hearing the words from the King of Kings. A prophet named Zechariah spoke about this 550 years before that day. He heard at a time when Israel was in the dirt of defeat, in exile. And they were still in the dirt of defeat that day with the foot of Rome on their necks. And Zechariah 550, while people were still in the dirt, like some of us today might still be in that dirt, he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. So shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, this is 550 years before Jesus. He said, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is telling his disciples, this is manifesting before your eyes, and you do not even see the fullness of it, but they would very shortly. Then Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he explained to them, not to the crowd, he explained to them the parable of the sower and the seed, and he began to speak more parables to the crowd. To the crowd. He talked about the wheat and the tares. To the crowd, he talked about the mustard seed. To the crowd, he talked about the leaven and three measures of flour. And taking up again in verse 34, he says, and all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Nothing to them without a riddle. And he said this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. And now he's talking about Asaph. Asaph was a songwriter under David and Solomon. He said, I will open, he sang prophetically, Asaph sang from the temple of Solomon, I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And then in verse 66, he said, then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him. Left the beach, left the crowds on the beach, went into the house, and his disciples came to him. And in the house, away from the crowd, the disciples asked him, explain the parable of the wheat and the tares to us. To us. And Jesus explained things to them concerning the end times, concerning judgment. Oh, the crowds of the people of God were out on the beach, but his true disciples explain about the final judgment, explain about heaven, explained about hell. Then he spoke three more parables to his disciples in the house, not to the crowds. In the house, he spoke three more parables just to his disciples. Now that they finally had ears to hear, eyes to see. Now I will speak to you, even in parables. And you will understand what they cannot understand. Three parables. Then in January 1997, when the scales of years of drug abuse up to that day finally fell off my eyes. The stopped up ears of all the voices of the world, contrary voices of the world, my ears were finally unplugged to hear what the Lord was saying and see what he was doing in me. I actually believe that my moment here began in January 1997. Three parables. Then in January 1997, in that back sanctuary at the Fairman campus, not the one you know now, was now the fellowship hall. I remember on the front row there, struggling, drove me to my knees and to change. And to action. Three parables that caused me to finally understand what it really meant to follow Jesus. What it meant to be in what these disciples were called that day. What it meant to be in the way. What it really meant to be a Christian. Three parables that caused me to understand the cost of being in the kingdom of God. The cost. Three parables that caused me to change my life. Often people hear people say, oh, I heard a word that changed my life. Okay, that's wonderful. But there's no real change unless the word causes you to change your life. There's a supernatural work, but there is a natural work that must be done. Cause me to change my life. The first parable begins in verse 44. And Jesus is speaking. He's in the house, away from the crowds. He's speaking just to his disciples who now have ears to hear, eyes to see. He says, the kingdom of heaven. And let me say, in the Gospel of Matthew, you hear the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God used interchangeably. They're really talking about the same sphere. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. He found it, and then he covered up. He found it, and then he hid it. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Not just the treasure. He found the treasure, he buried it, and he went and sold everything and bought the whole field that he found the treasure in. The second parable, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A merchant searching for pearls, he found one that was of such great value, he said he sold everything. Everything and bought it. The third parable in verse 47, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he said, and then he goes on to verse 51. He asks his disciples, talking to the disciples, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure of what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and his disciples followed him from there. Three parables that were a new revelation to his disciples that day. Now that they had finally been separated in their minds from this grand illusion that they had, that somehow there will be an immediate and forceful restoration of Israel's glory days under King David. Jesus finally said, get that out of your heads. They now finally understood that there would be even more sacrifice, even more resistance, even more opposition to before they could enter this newly revealed kingdom of God. How many feeling a little opposition today? And now, they were forced into something that doesn't preach very well today. They were forced to count the cost of being his disciple. A new revelation to his disciples that day, and a new revelation to me in January 1997. And it is a new revelation to many modern day Christians who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. A new revelation. The first parable said the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, and a man found it and covered up, and in his joy goes and sells all he has and buys the whole field. In other words, he not just the salvation part, he wanted more than that. Not just the grace part, he wanted more than that. Not just the mercy part, he wanted everything. I found Jesus. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to hide him in my heart. Everything. the wisdom, the word, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything, the healing, the miracles, the way. 1997 for me, a new revelation. The field is the kingdom of God. The treasure is Jesus, my relationship. And when I really found him, I hid him in the depth of my heart, hid him away. Why did I hide him? Because I had to put him where he could not be found and stolen away from me by a thief, be it man or contrary spirit. I hid, not out of concealment, not out of hiding, but just the deepest treasure chest of my heart. And then I sold all that was of me. All that was not, what was not of him, the old man, I sold him. My sins, I sold him. My fears, I sold it. My pride, my selfish, ugly pride that even thought I had this faith worked out, I sold it. My pride of myself, my intelligence, my 30-something years in IT, considered an expert in the field. Oh, he's a sharp one. You got a problem, call him. IBM, Delta Airlines, and six other major Fortune 500 accounts. When he comes in, he's representing Blue. Sell it. Proud of self, sold it. And I had a ready buyer. The buyer's name was Jesus. He bought it even before I put it up for sale. He was the purchaser. His blood was the currency. I sold it. And with the buying power I now had in his blood, I started acquiring the whole field. The wisdom, the word, the Holy Spirit, the way, everything. I wanted everything. I remember when I came to that point, Lord, you're deep in my heart. I see a lot here before me. I want everything. If the Bible says it, I want it. The second parable. He says the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great value. And a merchant was searching for the great value pearl. And he was searching among many pearls that had little value. But now he no longer was contented with the lesser pearls of the world. They no longer satisfied the counterfeit, the flawed, the disappointed when under light or heat or stress. This world has a lot of pearls to offer, but under stress, under tests, they disappoint. That's when people start making the 6 o'clock news. All the stuff, all the pearls of the world that they thought, if I just get this, if I just get that, if I just vote for this, if I just do that somehow, and then the stress hits and the test hits and it disappoints, and now depression, now anger, now rage, now I got to go out and throw some rocks at somebody, now I got to go out and kill somebody. Now, he wanted something more. Validation. Am I worth anything? Validation, yes. You're worth dying for. One purpose. Peace. Joy. Confidence, freedom, hope, future. And see, being a merchant, they said a man was a merchant, what means he was a businessman. Anybody have business people in here? I got a bachelor's degree of business administration. I understand a few things. One thing I understand about being a businessman is surely when he found that pearl of great value, he did what is called a cost-benefit analysis. I'm sure he counted the cost in light of the benefits. And the Bible says that after he accounted the costs, in light of the benefits, he sold all that he had and bought that one pearl. Sold it all. Businessman, I understand costs. I sold it. He sold everything. My wife always asks me on Sunday mornings what you're preaching about. I always tell her I'm preaching about her. It's a running house joke. And thank God she gave me an object lesson last week, right? She didn't even know what I was preaching. She came to me, she said, you know, I'm thinking about buying some pearl earrings. I said, really? Here we go, Lord. Some, you ladies may know, I never heard of drop pearls. There you go. And some drop pearl earrings. I said, okay, cool. She showed me a picture, cool, you know. And she said, I went on eBay, and I found some from China for $11 shipped. I said, oh. $11 shipped. And she said, then I went to the jewelry store in Fayette, up in the square, and I saw some for $56. Which one should I get? I said, baby, you get to decide. But you will know the value of what you have chosen when you need the return on your investment. She bought the ones in Fayetteville. I thought she was going to wear them today and just make it complete, but she didn't. The third parable. Jesus told his disciples sitting in that room, just his disciples away from the crowd. He said the kingdom of God is like a net that was thrown into the sea, gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, when it was crowded, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. I wonder, especially after seeing some things in Israel, I wonder if Jesus was perhaps looking out the window at the crowd on the shore. I mean, they're right there as he's speaking this parable to his disciples. I wonder if he was looking out the window at the crowd gathered like fish of every kind. Gathered there on the shore, and then he and his disciples in the container of the house with him, looking at his disciples. One powerful lesson that I had never really seen, and now when I read the Bible now, it jumps off the page. One powerful lesson I learned in Israel is that Jesus was not only intentional about the lessons he taught, but he was also very, very intentional about the places and surroundings where he taught the lessons. There was always a lesson in the location and the surroundings, like he would go intentionally to places. Now I'm going to teach you about this here. Jesus was teaching his disciples that all kinds of fish will be drawn in when the net, even the net of the gospel is cast. All kind of fish will be drawn in. The shore was full of Israel. The nets that they were cast, and he would stay. He said, I can see him saying, remember, I was standing in the boat, fishermen. And they were to be fishers of men. But the final sorting would not be theirs. The final sorting would not be their task. Fish But the final sorting will be the task of angels at the command of Christ at the last judgment. Crowds can be deceiving. Crowds of the people of God can be at times deceiving. Jesus was teaching as fishermen. We are all called to be fishers of men. But to be careful. As Paul wrote, that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. He's talking to his disciples. And then Jesus asked the disciples and is asking his disciples here today, have you understood all these things? He asked me in 1997, January, in the front row of that back sanctuary, Gilbert, now that you have ears to hear and eyes to see, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, and that what is new and what is old, things new and what is old. See, Jesus is now connecting the dots of their thinking. And maybe connecting the dots of the thinking among some of us in this room this morning. See, the old king and old kingdom understandings from Saul to David to Solomon for and 40-something kings and a few queens over the years through the dividing of the kingdom and all the kings and kingdoms that we can tend to look to in our life. Over the years, he's connecting the dots. That all that mess, all that up and down, all that what looked like success and then grand failure, all the what you thought was truth and turned out to be a lie. He said all this throughout the history of Israel was pointing to a new and to a better king and a new and a better kingdom that Jesus was now revealing to them. Now that they had the eyes to see, now that they had the ears to hear. And Jesus, when he had finished these parables, the Bible says he went away from there, continuing on his journey in the earth that would finish at the cross. He taught them. Now they had ears to hear, now they had eyes to see. He taught them the cost of being a Christian. The way. He taught them in modern day vernacular, before you decide to follow me any further, do your own cost-benefit analysis. The cost is high. At times, even extreme. But the benefits are priceless. I'm here to tell you, 20-something years later, the cost has been high. At times, extreme. But the benefits, priceless. And even on my worst day of the last 20-something years, I would not go back. They had two choices. Stay in the house with Jesus and follow him on the journey from there. Choice one or choice two, go outside with the crowds on the beach and follow them. In January 1997, this man finally understood there were only two choices, and I was searching hard for a third. There's got to be another choice. I finally understood there were two choices: inside with Jesus or outside with the crowd. I chose Jesus and the kingdom. I never thought it would land me right here today. How about you, church? What do you choose? There's no third choice. In the house with him, and then when he says, let's go, we go. Or outside with the crowd. Most of them were the people of God. America is full of people who claim to be Christians, but sorely lacking in people who will pay the cost of following him. Sorely lacking. The wheat and the tares, he said, let them all grow together. And in the end, I will do the sorting. Cast the nets. Bring them all in. All the fish up on the beach, the crowd on the beach. Catch them. Bring them in. In the end, the container I will keep with me. The rest, he says, I chose Jesus and the kingdom. I chose to sell everything. Everything that was not of him, that was of me. Everything, and with that, I want to buy the whole field. I'm still searching around the field. What have I missed? Well, what else is in this kingdom life for me? You know what? We're going to have communion. I'm not even going to do a altar call on this one, because nobody did an altar call on that January day in 1997. What I heard caused me to change my life. So worship team, come on, and let's and communion team, come on, let's prepare the table up here. Let me give you some more scriptures. Luke 17, 20 through 21. These are scriptures about the kingdom of God. Just write them down and go back. And Luke 17, 20 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor would they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. In Romans 14, 16, it says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. We're in a day where your good as a true believer is spoken of in the world as being something evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and pleasures, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. John 3, 5 through 9, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it's going. One thing that inhibits believers today of really walking in the kingdom, we want to be in control of where we're going. I stand here without shame and tell you, I have no idea where this church is going. What? Pastor, you're supposed to have a vision. I read you the Bible. But I tell you where it's going as the Holy Spirit tells me where it's going. Without shame. I believe pastors get in great trouble when they try to take control of where their church is going. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it's come from or where it's going. Matthew 19, 14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians 4, 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Oh, from 87 to 97, I was doing a lot of talking. I had my Christianese down in New City Church. Matthew 24, 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. This gospel of the kingdom will be claimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Any believers in the house this morning? Come on, I believe we got a church of open ears and seeing eyes. If we did not, you would not even tolerate me preaching this kind of word. That's why Jesus called he said, come off the beach, come away from the crowds. Come here with me in the room and let me. Now, I'm going to speak to you in parables, but because your ears are open and your eyes see, you're going to understand. And when I walk out of this room on the way to the cross, I won't have to look back because I know you're with me. When we're going to worship and go into communion, we're just going to do family style, a meal, and this is a believer's meal. And I would just say also, if you just want to give your life to the Lord for the first time Sunday, come to me before you go there. And I want to pray for you. But for his disciples, for those that have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, that have come to that place, let's partake.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.